This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app on iOS and find one of our Locked On Rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, and you can find me in the Spotify green room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We will be previewing the Astros series. This is a big one for the Yankees heading into the All-Star break because, one, it's against the Astros, and two, they need to turn things around. And what better way to turn things around than to beat up on the Astros? Will it happen? We'll find out. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Before we get started, I have to mention the fact that apparently 3 years ago today, I recorded my first episode of Locked On Yankees. I found this out by looking through my Google Docs and found something called podcast script number one. Let me tell you, that was hilarious. When I first started, I was very stiff and very nervous because I'd never really hosted a solo podcast for a network before. And I wanted to make sure I sounded professional and everything was tight, and everything was tight, including my attitude. And then I started to loosen up and allow my personality to get into the podcasts. And, you know, I had, I think it was like 3 pages of script written out. I'll tell you, honestly, I don't do that anymore. I know what I'm going to talk about on each show, and I have things set up so I can read things off, but I don't write out a script every day. Sometimes I feel like, if I feel like I need to, I do, but not as regimented as I was at the beginning. I hope I sound a lot more relaxed 3 years into this, and I hope I sound like I know what I'm doing 3 years into this, but I can't believe it's been 3 years. And earlier this week, Locked On Yankees had its 600th episode. I didn't host Locked On Yankees for the first 6 months or so, so not 600 for me, but 600 for the show overall. And I didn't realize it until I was loading it into the system and saw that it was the 600th and thought, oh, I could have done something fun for that. We'll wait until 650, maybe 700 or 750. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know it was my anniversary. I think that's kind of cool. So this episode, again, preview of the Astros series. You know, the Yankees are coming out of Seattle. 2 out of 3 isn't bad. Or, sorry, excuse me. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Sorry, Meatloaf. And normally I would think that way. But at this point, the Yankees need to win as many games as they possibly can because we're approaching the point of no return. I know a lot of people think they're at the point of no return, but I don't think we've gotten there yet. The schedule in the second half for the Yankees, they're going to be doing a lot of scoreboard watching because the rest of the AL East will be playing each other a lot more. So that'll be interesting to watch. The Yankees need to take care of their games. Although, you know, as I said yesterday, going into a 3-game series against the Astros, heading into the All-Star break, and then heading out of the All-Star break, a 4-game series against the Red Sox. That Thursday, that's usually boring for everyone because games don't really start until Friday after the All-Star break, the Yankees and Red Sox are playing. So we have that to look forward to. So let's get into the preview of the Astros series as I hold on to my mic because it's about to fall over. It's a fun day. It's Friday. I'm recording this at 2:30 p.m. because my computer is dying and on its last legs, and it shut down as I was about to record about an hour ago. literally just shut off. So I gave it a bit of a break and hopefully it won't shut down while I'm recording right now. So let's preview this series. Tonight, the first game, 8:10 p.m. Eastern. So not as bad as a West Coast game, but the game still won't end early because it's starting at 8:10. Man, those West Coast games are rough. I was actually thankful for yesterday's game because it ended, when did it end? Around 7:30, which is so much better than ending at 1 or 1:30 a.m. Tonight, Minute Maid Park, Houston, Texas. Nestor Cortez will be starting the game, or opening the game. I don't expect him to pitch more than 3 innings at this point. He will be facing Jake Odorizzi, who is 3-3 with a 3.70 ERA and 40 strikeouts. Cortez right now has a 1.29 ERA with 29 strikeouts. So he's doing well in his role that he has. Again, don't expect him to pitch 7 innings. That's not going to happen. As for Yankee batters against Odorizzi, let's see. Not too many at-bats. The most would be Brett Gardner. He's faced him 13 times. He's batting 154, so that's not great. Aaron Judge has faced him 10 times. He's batting 300. He has a home run and a run batted in. Rougi Odor has faced him 9 times, has 2 home runs against Odorizzi, batting 333. Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar all have home runs off Odorizzi. Gleyber Torres is an interesting one because he's faced him 9 times. He's batting 111, but he does have the home run and an RBI. So see how that works. Now for the Astros against Cortez, they have not faced him a lot. The most is Martin Maldonado? Sorry. 4 times, batting 250. Jose Altuve has faced him 3 times, has not gotten a hit. Jordan Alvarez has faced him twice, has hit a home run, has 3 runs batted in. Michael Brantley has faced him twice, hasn't gotten, or has 2 hits. 1 hit, sorry. I can do math. I swear I can do math. It's Friday. And Yuli Gurriel is also batting 500 against Cortez, and the 1 hit he has is a home run. So that's what you have to look forward to tonight. Again, don't expect Cortez to last very long. In a moment, we'll preview game number 2 between the Astros and Yankees, which will be tomorrow evening, because I believe it's a Fox game. But first, let's talk about the best tasting protein bar ever, Built Bar. There's a limited time flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. I told you about this earlier in the week. It's available through today. It tastes like a thin mint cookie. And if you listen to this show, you know that I love my mint brownie bars, but Grasshopper Cookie is right behind it. The other flavors that Built Bar has, coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, the aforementioned mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. Every bar is high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, high in taste. If you go to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, limited time for Grasshopper Cookie. Today is the last day that they will have it. So go to builtbar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off. Okay, here's the big matchup. The big matchup because it's Gerrit Cole against Zach Greinke. And the big matchup because it's Gerrit Cole in his current iteration without the sticky stuff. So we'll see how he does against the Astros in Minute Maid Park. Right now in the season, he's 8-4 with a 2.91 ERA, 135 strikeouts. Greinke is 8-2 with a 3.64 ERA, 82 strikeouts. So let's see how everyone does against Cole. Jordan Alvarez, 3 at-bats. 2 hits, both home runs. So if he's not injured, which I don't really know if he is or if he's playing, expect him to see time against Cole in the box, because why wouldn't you put him in? As for the rest of them, let's see. Yeah, there are a few of them that do pretty well against Cole. Alvarez is the only one who hits home runs against him so far. Of course, I probably just jinxed Gerrit Cole. Why do I always want to say Derek Cole? Why does my mouth do that? Gerrit, Stace. Gerrit. Okay. Greinke against the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu has 35 at-bats against Greinke. and that's probably from the days when they were on the Rockies and Diamondbacks. He hits .371 against him. No home runs, only three runs batted in, but he tends to hit a lot off him. So as for everyone else, Gio Urshela is batting .405 at bats against Greinke. Giancarlo Stanton, .250 in 8 at bats with a home run and 3 runs batted in. He's the only one with the home run off Greinke. So that'll be interesting. And let's see. Yep, it's a Fox game. It's 7:15. I mean, you know, Yankees and Astros are a marquee matchup the last few seasons, and especially with Gerrit Cole pitching. So Fox must be so elated that they get to watch this. Hopefully he won't have a repeat performance of his game against Boston or his game against the Mets, although it seems like that is the norm now for Gerrit Cole. We have the Pittsburgh Pirates version of Gerrit Cole and not the Houston Astros version of Gerrit Cole. I said this on my show the other day when I was talking about the doubleheader against the Mets. Yeah, this will be a problem for the Yankees if it's Pittsburgh Pirates Gerrit Cole, and if he doesn't straighten things out or figure out how to throw without sticky stuff. This could be a long second half for both Gerrit Cole and the Yankees. We'll see what happens tomorrow. In the series finale, Jameson Taillon against Framber Valdez. Taillon had a strong outing in his last game, which was nice to see. He pitched a lot better than I thought he would. He's 4-4 on the season with a 5.05 ERA and 82 strikeouts. He hasn't faced a lot of the Astros at all. Martin Maldonado has faced him 5 times. He's batting .600. No home runs from any of those guys. Altuve's faced him 3 times. He's batting .333. Same with Michael Brantley. Jason Castro in 5 at-bats is batting .200. Carlos Correa, 3 at-bats. He's batting .00. Hasn't gotten a hit. As for the Yankees against Framber Valdez, who's 5-1 with a 2.86 ERA and 47 strikeouts. Not very high totals at all. The person who's faced him the most is Odor. He's faced him 5 times, batting .400, has 2 runs batted in. Gleyber Torres is .500 off him in 2 at-bats, and the one hit is a home run with 3 runs batted in. So not a lot of experience for either lineup against either starter, so that'll also be interesting to see. It is a 2:10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time start on Sunday, so we don't have to worry about it being an ESPN game. Thank you, Universe. I don't know if you all knew this, but the Astros promotions this weekend, they're giving away a Jose Altuve jersey. They're giving away a replica 2019 AL championship ring, and I believe a replica of the championship trophy. So, you know, rubbing it in against the Yankees, and fine, you can rub it in. Who cares? But it's funny that they're choosing to focus on 2019 because there's no way they could focus on 2017 because of what they did. Then again, the Astros don't really care about what they did in 2017 and don't think that they did anything wrong. So I'm actually surprised that they wouldn't do that. Maybe they're growing up, but not, because they're still trying to rub it into the Yankees' faces. And you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of the Astros and the Rays right now. And I want things to reverse. I want the Astros to be horrible again like they were when they were in the National League. I want the Rays to be horrible again like they were for the first, how many years of their existence? Let's return to that, shall we? Oh, speaking of the Astros, Jose Altuve and, was it Correa? Maybe Correa? They both pulled out of the All-Star game. A lot of guys are pulling out of the All-Star game, but a lot of people are also joking that they pulled out of the All-Star game because they don't want to be booed, which I don't blame them because they will be booed. But they're not the only ones not playing in the All-Star game. I believe Jacob deGrom is not doing it. There are a bunch of guys. And I understand because, you know, they're going from playing in a 60-game season to playing in a 162. This time off is actually beneficial for some of these guys, and I would understand why they wouldn't want to go through all the stuff that they have to go through during an All-Star game. Because it's not just playing in the All-Star game. You have to sit there and talk to the reporters, hang out at the ballpark. It's not like you're hanging out in your hotel until the All-Star game. Plus, they want you there for the Home Run Derby, and it's a lot. So if you want to relax, more power to you. And it's not like the All-Star game determines home field advantage in the World Series anymore, so a lot of these guys don't care. And that's the way it should be. It doesn't count anymore. So go home, rest. As I said earlier in the week, Aroldis Chapman, please do what everyone else is doing and don't go to the All-Star game. Gerrit Cole, you can do the same. Hang out with your son and your wife and chill out. Gear up for Boston. Don't worry about anything else but that. That would be wonderful. Please. Thank you. Someone send this to them. In a moment, we're going to look back at 10 years ago today, because 10 years ago today, Derek Jeter got his 3,000th hit in very grand. No, it wasn't grand, because that would be a grand slam. In big fashion. So we'll be talking about that. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams are making their runs through the finals. The Suns won again last night, so they took home court advantage. I know my sports. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You know, if these sports books existed back in 2011, I could have won a lot of money because I called Derek Jeter's performance. I joked that he was going to go 4-for-4 with a home run. He went 5-for-5 with a home run. I could have won a lot of money. Damn it. But I didn't. Anyway, July 9th, 2011. It was a Saturday at Yankee Stadium. Everyone was waiting for this to happen. He was walked in his last at bat, and that was against Tampa. Trying to remember who the pitcher was. I'll look it up in a bit. And then the Friday night game was rained out, so everyone had to wait a day. He was sitting on 2999. People were joking that he was going to hit a dribbler and run it out, get the hit. I, for some reason, felt home run because it's Derek Jeter. And as much as I hate this phrase, when Michael Kay says it, no offense, Michael Kay, but Derek Jeter did have the flair for the dramatic, as we've seen throughout his entire career. And of course he would hit a home run for his 3,000th hit when people weren't expecting him to do it, because he's Derek Jeter. Oh, so as I said, it was a Saturday. It was a 108? Yeah, 108 start time. 48,103 people were at Yankee Stadium 3. The game lasted 3 hours 9 minutes. Your starters were David Price, because he gave up the home run, as you remember, and A.J. Burnett. Yeah. So anyway, let's go through everything. You know I love doing this, and I know some of you like when I do this. So let's get to it. Tampa Bay Rays, Johnny Damon, Ben Zobrist, Evan Longoria, Casey Kochman, Melvin Upton Jr., who wasn't Melvin Upton Jr. at the time, Matthew Joyce, Sean Rodriguez, John Jaso, Reed Brignac. Wow! And your starter, David Price. I love this. Okay. Yankees, Derek Jeter, Curtis Granderson, Mark Teixeira, Robinson Cano, Russell Martin, Jorge Posada, Andrew Jones, Eduardo Nunez, Brett Gardner. Russell Martin was catching, Posada was DH, because at this point in 2011, that was the case. Again, A.J. Burnett, your starter. Your umps for the day, Jim Wolf behind the plate, Ron Culpa at first, Gary Cederstrom at second, and Daryl Cousins at third, all well-known umpires. Start time weather, sunny and 84. It was a very lovely day, albeit a little hot at Yankee Stadium, for Derek Jeter's big day. So the top of the first and the bottom of the first were quiet for Burnett and David Price, though Jeter did get a hit, because as I said, he was 5-for-5. And then A.J. Burnett gave up a home run in the top of the second to Matthew Joyce. And that was after getting two outs and on a 2-1 pitch. Then he got Sean Rodriguez to strike out. So the Rays are up 1-0. The bottom of the second, Cano is hit by a pitch. Then Russell Martin strikes out swinging. Posada hits a ground out. Andrew Jones walks, but then Eduardo Nunez grounds out. So they leave two on base. A.J. Burnett has a 1-2-3 inning in the top of the third, a strikeout looking, a strikeout swinging, and a ground out. In the bottom of the third, here we go. Derek Jeter. Well, let's talk about what he did in his first at-bat. He hit a single in his first at-bat because, as I said, he was 5-for-5 on the day. So Brett Gardner grounds out to second. Derek Jeter comes up, and it's a long at-bat, And on the eighth pitch, David Price throws him a cookie, and Derek Jeter hits the crap out of it.
Derek, born in New Jersey as a youngster, the family moved to Kalamazoo. And he wanted to do one thing, play for the Yankees. The 3-2. That one's drilled deep to left field. Going back, Joyce, looking up. See ya! 3,000! History with an exclamation point! Oh, what a way to join the 3,000 hit club! Derek Jeter has done it in grand style!
Okay, that's funny because I said grand style. Maybe that was stuck in the back of my head because of Michael Kay's call of that home run. So Derek Jeter hits the home run, ties the game. Curtis Granderson walks, Mark Teixeira singles, Robinson Cano strikes out looking, Russell Martin hits a single that scores Granderson, Teixeira makes it to second. So it's 2-1 Yankees at that point. Jorge Posada strikes out looking. Top of the fourth, A.J. Burnett gives up the lead again. It was back and forth there. And that's, A.J. Burnett tended to do that in 2011. So he walked Zobrist to start the inning. Evan Longoria struck out. Casey Kochman grounded out. So two outs. That was another thing that A.J. Burnett loved doing. It was almost like Phil Hughes, too. Melvin Upton Jr. hits a two-run home run to put the Rays up 3-2. Matthew Joyce hits a single. Joyce steals second while Sean Rodriguez is up, and then Sean Rodriguez strikes out swinging. Yankees go down in order in the bottom of the fourth. The top of the fifth, Burnett is able to keep them off the board, so it's still 3-2 Rays. In the bottom of the fifth, Derek Jeter hits a double off David Price. Curtis Granderson hits a single. It's a ground ball to right, and Jeter scores. Mark Teixeira hits a single. Granderson makes it to third. Robinson Cano hits a sac fly to left field. Granderson scores. Teixeira makes it to second and advances on the throw home. And then Russell Martin, intentional walk, and then Jorge Posada, ground ball double play to end the inning. So two runs, three hits, one left on base. Yankees are up 4-3. A.J. Burnett is taken out of the game in the top of the sixth. Evan Longoria grounds out. Casey Kochman grounds out. Then he walks Melvin Upton Jr. Boone Logan, remember him, comes in to replace A.J. Burnett. Upton steals second while Joyce is up, and then Joyce strikes out swinging against Boone Logan. So Brandon Gomes comes in to replace David Price. Andrew Jones hits a fly ball to deep center. Eduardo Nunez hits a pop fly between first and second, but it's caught by the first baseman. Brett Gardner walks. Derek Jeter hits a single, because as I said, he did not stop hitting all day. J.P. Howell comes in to replace Gomes. Double steal while Curtis Granderson is up, but then he strikes out swinging. So the Yankees leave two on base. It's still 4-3. The Rays come up against Boone Logan in the seventh. They go down 1-2-3. Bottom of the seventh, the Yankees, there's a lot of substitutions and moves by the Rays because this was when Joe Maddon was managing them, and there's a bunch of stuff going on. But Mark Teixeira walks, Robinson Cano lines out, Russell Martin walks, Jorge Posada lines out, and then Andrew Jones grounds out. David Robertson comes in, replaces Corey Wade, who was pitching in the seventh. Johnny Damon hits a triple off D-Rob. That just confused me so much, and then I realized it was 2011. Ben Zobrist hits a single off D-Rob. Damon scores. Evan Longoria, while he's up, Zobrist steals second. Then he hits a fly ball to right. Casey Kochman is intentionally walked. Melvin Upton Jr. strikes out swinging. Matthew Joyce flies out to left. So just the one run on two hits, but two are left on base. The Rays tie the game at 4-4. And then the star of the game. So, Eduardo Nunez, not him, doubles. Brett Gardner hits a bunt ground out, but he sacrifices Nunez to third, which sets up what turns into the game-winning single by who else? Derek Jeter, who hits a single to center field, scoring Nunez, putting the Yankees up 5-4. Curtis Granderson hits into a double play to end the inning. Mo comes in to replace D-Rob. He gets Sean Rodriguez looking. Kelly Shopik, who had come in as a pinch hitter earlier in the game, hits a fly ball to deep center. Justin Reggiano, who also came in as a pinch hitter, grounded out to third. Yankees win 5-4. Derek Jeter is the hero for going 5-for-5, for getting the game-winning hit, and for hitting his 3,000th hit as a home run. In some ways, I can't believe that was 10 years ago, and in other ways, yeah, it feels like 10 years ago. So to recap, the Yankees start a three-game series in Houston leading into the All-Star break. This is a big test for the Yankees. They need to win at least 2 out of 3. That will be a small miracle. We'll also find out if Gerrit Cole is Pittsburgh Pirates Gerrit Cole again for the third straight start, or if he's figured some things out and maybe will be back to not quite Houston Astros Gerrit Cole, but maybe New York Yankees Gerrit Cole. We'll see. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all on Monday.